ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Does your work feel like it has a sense of purpose? Or do you sometimes ask yourself, what's the point? Hello, Lisa Leong here for This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. We're going deep on the P word in this episode because purpose keeps coming up in our stories, particularly when it comes to the way we feel about work. Please join the conversation. How do you find personal purpose and meaning at work, whether it's through the job itself or outside it? Please share. You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Debbie Husky-Leventhal is a professor of management at Macquarie University. She's been researching and teaching about meaning and purpose at work for some time now. Welcome back to This Working Life, Debbie.
So great to be here again, Lisa.
What's the definition of purpose in a work context, Debbie?
Great question to start with. Let's set the parameters for this. So usually purpose is defined as the reason for which something exists or for which something was created. So if you look around you, every object around you was created for a certain purpose. And if it doesn't serve this purpose, we call it broken. It's a little bit more complicated when we think about purpose. So we ask ourselves, why was this organization created? Why was my job created? What am I meant to do here? And so if we dig a little bit deeper, we have three levels of purpose at work, which I'm sure we'll get to talk about.
Yeah, before we get to the three different levels, can I just clarify some things first? So
sure.
Why do you think it's important to even find purpose and meaning at work?
We are not just income-driven humans. We want to have purpose. We want to have a sense of mattering in what we do. And that goes to work and to life. So that is something we are profoundly driven by. We're actually biologically hardwired to have this sense of purpose because when we do, our body reacts to that, our even hormones react to that. And we derive this sense of importance from what we do. We don't want to just kill 9 hours or 8 hours a day every day. We want to feel that what we do has significance. And that's why we're looking for purpose and meaning at work.
Debbie, what would you say then to someone who says to you, hey, I want you to just do your job. You get paid after all. I mean, does work really have to have meaning?
It doesn't have to, but it's much better when it does. So if my boss tells me you're just here for the money, I pay you, just do your job and go home, they might lose me because over time I'll start feeling that my job either bores me or even has no sense of meaning. And life is too short to do meaningless work. So now it's recognized that employers don't just need to have purpose, but they need to enable their employees to have purpose and derive purpose from work. And so it's important for us to understand how we can do that. And if someone just goes to work and wants to make money, that's fine. But it does affect your mental and physical well-being when you do have a strong sense of purpose at work.
And in your experience, is the organization's stated purpose, or what we used to call the mission statement, something that can help workers feel that positive sense of purpose about the work they do?
Absolutely, as long as there are actions to follow. So if we just have a mission statement, we are the best for the world, we want to create a positive impact, but we're not doing anything, then we have some gap that will create a sense of mistrust. So in order for us to have a real purpose at work or in our organization, we've got to have an alignment between our mission statement or our purpose statement with our actions and what we're actually doing. Otherwise, it's what we refer to as purpose washing.
Go more into purpose washing, please. Is that like greenwashing?
It's just like greenwashing. So greenwashing happens when companies tell us how green they are and how wonderful they are for the environment. Usually it has to do with a lot of the color green on their logo and in their advertisements. But unless they're actually taking steps to minimize their harm to the environment and to make a real contribution to it, then it becomes greenwashing. And then we don't trust them anymore. And worse off, we're not trusting the industry anymore to tell us that they are sustainable. Similarly with purpose, when organizations tell us how wonderful they are, I've just worked with an organization that had a mission statement of we want to create the best impact. And that sounds wonderful. I'm all for it. But you've got to have actions that align with that mission statement. Otherwise, people feel like, okay, these are just empty words. And that's the worst you can do. It's better not to have a purpose than have a purpose statement with nothing behind it.
Debbie, I want to test one more thing then. So couldn't organisations increase employee satisfaction by just paying them more instead of facilitating purpose?
So it was already in the 1960s that it was established that income and payment are an hygiene factor, which means if we don't have enough of it, we will be demotivated. But if you pay people enough, the more you pay them, it doesn't correlate with their satisfaction, their sense of belonging, their sense of engagement, and their desire to stay in the workplace. To be able to achieve that, we need a sense of purpose, we need a sense of mastery, we need relatedness, we need to have relationships in the workplace. Otherwise, anyone who's offering us 1 cent more will just go. And so to have this emotional attachment to the workplace, we need to do more than just pay people fairly.
Okay, so I've delayed long enough. There are 3 layers or ways of purpose being part of our work lives. Can you please talk us through them?
Yes. So the first one is the organizational purpose. When it is so strong, every employee may feel like this is their own personal purpose. And we all remember this story about the janitor that puts a man on the moon because NASA's purpose was so strong. The second one, which is also very important, is to feel that my job, my role, is contributing to making people's lives better. And it doesn't have to be that you need to be a doctor and save people's lives. You can just think, every day that I come to the supermarket and help people check out, I put a smile on their face and I help them put food on their table. So any job can have a role purpose. And if you have neither, you can then turn into the extra role purpose. And that's part of what I've done in the last 20 years, looking at how employees can find purpose by doing things additional to their paid role. For example, they can volunteer through the workplace or they can donate blood through the workplace. And these are things that we found to give people a sense of purpose in their work, even if their organizational purpose and their role purpose are not that strong. Ideally, you should have all 3.
Aha. So what happens if you have all 3? What's that called, Debbie?
Imagine that you get up in the morning, you go to your office and you feel, wow, I really work for an organization that helps to fight climate change or poverty or change humanity for the better. And then in my job, I get to see people every day and I know I make a difference in their lives. And in addition to that, I go and I volunteer and I donate blood through the workplace. My level of purposefulness will be very high. And research tells us that you will become profoundly happy at work.
And if your organization doesn't cultivate that sense of purpose, why can't organizations do more to make the work itself feel more purposeful?
Well, I would suggest do all 3, but if you can't, then at least help employees understand how what they do helps to create an impact. I think it's part of the responsibility. You know, a lot of people think that CSR is about philanthropy, and I always say, no, it's about responsibility. And so employees now also have the responsibility to share with their employees how together they create a positive impact in the world.
Go ahead. Sorry, Debbie. What is CSR? Can you clarify for us?
Of course. So it's corporate social responsibility. And it's a term that's been used for decades to tell us how companies donate time and money to help charities. But to take a more holistic approach to corporate social responsibility means you have to act in a responsible way in every part of the organization, in every part of your value chain, in everything that you do as a company and beyond. And as part of it, if you are creating a positive impact, you simply have to share that impact with their employees. Mm. Not only is the right thing to do, but it's also going to be really good for employees' morale.
Lisa Leong with you for This Working Life on ABC Radio National. You're listening to expert Debbie Husky-Leventhal, Professor of Management, Macquarie University, examine whether developing a sense of purpose can help you feel more engaged at work. And in a minute, you'll hear about one particular example, corporate volunteering. I would love to hear from you. How do you find personal purpose and meaning at work? You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. This texter writes, purpose is also important for achievement of business goals. If I have to ad lib at work because a new situation has arisen, I'm more likely to be aligned with the organisation's needs if I have a clear sense of purpose that's shared with my manager. Now, I also put a post on LinkedIn asking you to tell us how you find personal purpose and meaning at work. Here's a voice memo we got from CSJ.
For me, finding purpose and meaning at work is about connecting what I do every day with something bigger and the people around me. It's about making a real impact, whether it's through storytelling, connecting people with each other internally, or empowering teams to do the best work of their lives. My purpose also comes from constantly learning and growing. I recently started my MBA, and as I expand my knowledge, I feel more equipped to contribute in meaningful ways. But the most fulfilling part is when I can bring others along with me, whether it's through mentorship, creating space for open conversations, or fostering a culture of belonging. That's when I feel most connected to my purpose at work.
Thanks so much for that, CSJ. So, Debbie, what's your take on how CSJ finds purpose at work?
I absolutely love this. So that's music to my ears. It's exactly what we're talking about. It's about finding a sense of purpose by creating a positive impact and leveraging who I am, what I know, what I have to do that. And that's exactly what she says. She says, even through my studies, with my work, with my role, with my teams, I'm able to create a positive impact in the world.
Now, Andrew from Camberwell has written in to say, fantastic topic. I work in an organisation with a strong purpose. It also creates a fantastic culture in the organisation. Everyone is working collaboratively with an enterprise mindset for that purpose. So the outcome is bigger than any one role and people behave in that manner. Every outcome that furthers the purpose is seen as a win-win for people. What's your take on that, Debbie?
Beautiful. So when we have a shared horizon and a vision to better humanity, everyone gets on the same boat. This is how you get strong collaboration and cohesiveness in the workplace without trying to fake it through some culture. But you really do get everyone. The purpose can be the social glue that gets everyone together. And that's what we need.
Mick Labinskas is a This Working Lifer for whom purpose at work is very important. So I spoke to him earlier and asked him to tell me the role of purpose in how he developed his career.
Look, I decided really early that I wanted to live an exciting life. And in my mid-40s, I had a kind of early midlife crisis, or maybe late for some, and was thinking about what am I going to do for the rest of my life. I felt like I needed a big challenge. Then the US pulled out of the Paris Agreement, and a good friend of mine said, maybe it's time you got in the game. So from there, I basically started angling my world towards sustainability, environmental work, and it has ended up working in climate technology. So I've been doing that for about 8 years now. I'm about to finish a master's in sustainable development. I get to work with 700 Australian climate technology companies and help them grow. And I've got lots of challenge, but plenty of purpose.
And how much was that a pivot from what you were doing before your so-called midlife crisis?
I was working in tech startups, but it was predominantly software. And whilst we were saying we're changing the world, it was kind of like, you know, business software and optimizing HR or accounting or software development or something. So whilst there were some good businesses, it was challenging, but it didn't really feel like I was doing something for the world.
You read a book that apparently was a really big influence on your desire for purpose. Tell me about the book.
It's called Ikigai. It talks a lot about the Japanese philosophy of living a long, happy life, actually. And it talks about a number of things, but one of the big things is finding some purpose. And it doesn't have to be in your main job. It doesn't have to be in your family. It could be in a hobby. It could be in a passion. And it really just confirmed to me, I guess, in the middle of a big pivot, that this was a really good chance to find something that was going to be exciting and give me a lot of purpose for the rest of my life.
So if someone's listening and wants to find their own purpose and take it up a notch like you did, what exercise or thing did you do in order to find that higher sense of purpose at work?
It happened really organically by me sort of talking to my friend and he nudged me. Yeah, I was composting, I was recycling and I thought, yeah, I'm an environmentalist. But he really challenged me to say, you know, what if we went all in on this? And it was scary to begin with because it was a big shift. I took a 90% pay cut and that was really challenging. I guess the big thing I found is I didn't have to change everything dramatically. By applying myself and taking that purpose, it took some time, but very short term. And actually, I love the combination now of being able to earn a good living, working climate, feel the purpose, work with amazing, positive, collaborative people. And yeah, it's a thrill.
How important then is this sense of purpose in your work for your own health and well-being?
I think it's really important, especially with climate. It's doing a master's, the most thing you learn is about how bad it could get. So it could easily get into a spiral down to negativity. But because I get to work on the solutions every day, it just reinforces again. It's like I know that it may not be great, so go and work on it. So it really puts sunshine on my solar panels to keep me going.
I love that. Would you say that your job gives you not only a sense of purpose but a feeling that you have impact as well then, Mick?
Absolutely. I'm really, really lucky. In fact, I met a young woman in this industry last week in Melbourne, and she said to me, you know, thank you for the impact you've had. And I've done a little bit of work with her and her firm, but she was moving to London to work on climate projects as well. And it felt really great because it's kind of like you do 100 hours of work and you get 1 minute of of recognition and appreciation, which is, I think, about right. Like, you've got to put in the work to have that impact. So the really hard thing about climate, and I think most things with purpose, is they go against the instant gratification of today's world. Like, you're not going to get the dopamine hit of, yeah, an Instagram post or something. You've got to do the work and you commit to it, and then the rewards come much later and slower. But they're really worthwhile, and I think they're really meaningful. After 8 years, I absolutely feel that impact now.
Thanks so much, Mick.
Thank you.
That's Mick Labinska, CEO of Climate Salad. So, Debbie, does Mick have the trifecta when it comes to finding purpose at work?
I love that you defined it as a positive midlife crisis.
Exactly.
We need more of that. So what Mick is describing is a social or environmental business, a business that was created to do good in the world. And I always say, maybe in 10 years, we will not need to put the word social before business, because my vision is that every business will be a social business. How can we define each company by the positive impact it aims to create? So obviously what he describes here is moving, shifting from a sense of helplessness that a lot of us feel around climate change to a sense of empowerment and impact. And I love that he said that it doesn't give you the short-term dopamine, but I would add to that, it gives you the long-term oxytocin that, as I said before, we are hardwired to create impact, because that's what makes us feel profoundly happy for the long term.
And when you say it's having an organisation with a strong purpose, making a difference, and then also having your whole life having purpose, a bit of a diamond pathway, I think you like to call it.
So if we can connect all three layers, that's the best scenario, where we have this organizational purpose and we have the role purpose and we also do extra role behavior. We just did an amazing research with some Australian companies around donating blood through the workplace, which is part of the extra role purpose that I'm talking about. And what we found was quite interesting, because people who were working from home actually made the effort to come to the workplace and donate blood with their peers, because it gave them that sense of belonging, that sense of being part of something bigger than themselves, as a couple of the other people mentioned. And so that was a profound way of seeing, okay, in the post-COVID era, when we have people working from home, people working from the office, what can we do to connect all of them? And having a shared sense of purpose, like we found with the research we've done with the Red Cross Lifeblood, will connect everyone to all three layers of purpose and to each other in the workplace.
And here's an example of corporate volunteering and someone who donates via the Lifeblood program.
Hi, my name's Gary and I work at one of the big four banks based here in Brisbane. I've been a regular blood donor for many, many years. In fact, Tuesday was my 660th donation. Our company encourages colleagues to use their volunteer leave to donate. In fact, a week or so ago, we had our inaugural company donation day and we achieved 522 donations across the whole country, of which 184 of those were brand new donors. So very, very exciting for us to achieve those sort of things. Donating makes us feel as if we're helping three anonymous people to have a better quality of life, to have a next birthday, to be able to have Christmas with their friends. Whole blood donors will get an SMS from Lifeblood after their donation to say that their blood donation's gone to a hospital. And that just reinforces what they've actually done by rolling up their sleeves for 8 minutes.
Thank you so much, Gary. Gary also mentions that the organisation provides volunteer leave. How important is this?
It is so much more than the practical aspect of giving people time to donate blood or to volunteer. When employers give employees paid leave to volunteer or donate blood, they're signaling this is so important that we're actually going to pay you to do your job and then go and donate time or donate blood or donate goods or whatever it is that you can to help society, because this is part of who we are as an organization.
How common is corporate volunteering?
Not common enough. So most employers would have it, but usually we see about a 10% intake of the employees around Australia. Having said that, some employers have a much higher rate of volunteering because they help organize it, they facilitate it, they reward it, they recognize it, they share stories of impact, and they also give employees paid leave to do that.
Now, you wrote a paper on social entrepreneurship. Can you give me some examples from that?
Social entrepreneurship happens when employees innovate while being an employee of a company to find social or environmental solutions. And so that could be, for example, someone who works in a company, but then they see that there are things we can do around the company that could help us become more sustainable or create less harm for the environment. They come up to their managers or to the executives of that organization with that idea, and then it gets implemented. And this person gets acknowledged for their idea. So just like business entrepreneurship, when employees come up with innovative products or services, social entrepreneurship allows employees to come up to solutions to wicked problems that we're all facing as society.
Now, Debbie, in 30 seconds, what's your final advice to someone listening who's a bit lackluster about their work when it's lacking purpose?
So in 30 seconds, in my book, Make It Meaningful, I offer the tip model. How can you tie your talent, impact, and passion? Figure out what you're good at, figure out what you care about, and tie your talent to your passion to create a positive impact and find purpose in your role, in your job, and in your organization.
Thanks so much, Debbie. Debbie Husky-Leventhal is a professor of management at Macquarie University. Next up, try this. Now it's time for Try This, hacks and advice you can try to help make your work life better. Let's get you to have a think about the role of purpose in your work. Are you aiming towards the diamond pathway? All three of these aspects, as our expert Debbie Husky-Leventhal describes it, of finding purpose in your life and work. One is to work for an organisation that has a strong purpose. Two is that you feel that you're contributing to that strong purpose and are making a difference. Is that working for you? Three is to find your purpose outside of work as well, perhaps by volunteering or contributing in some way. You might have one of these going, all three, or none at all. No matter your situation, we'd love to hear about it, whether it's through the job itself or the organisation you work for, in group giving activities, corporate volunteering, social entrepreneurship. We'd love you to share. Where are you at finding your personal purpose and meaning at work? Report back by emailing us, thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. One texter, James from Canberra, shares, I've worked in retail, live music, commercial radio, and most recently in the timber industry. I now drive for a good rescue charity. It's physically the hardest job I've ever had, but it's by far the most rewarding. I even put my hand up for volunteer shifts. Thanks so much, James. And here's what another This Working Lifer had to say.
Hi, Lisa. This is Sarah N. I'm Malaysian and I've just made the move over to Australia. Back in Malaysia, something that I've done is combine my passion for coaching for early in career young professionals in my organization. And this is absolutely something that I do as a stretch project at my own time outside of working hours. But it does give me a one-on-one opportunity to impact another early in career's life, because I believe in giving back and I believe that I've also been on the receiving end of mentoring and coaching in the past.
Thanks so much, Sarah. And thank you, Louise, for your question about meaningful work and juggling it with home responsibilities. And we hope this episode has helped you with that. Thanks so much for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim Simons. We're on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Nam, Melbourne. And meet me here again next Friday, live from 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And if you haven't already, search for This Working Life on the ABC Listen app. Tap the heart to follow all of our stories. And we'll put up another question on LinkedIn next week for you to ponder as well. Until then, love your work.